I just want to do two readings. They're not long readings, but I do want to do them both before we look at some thoughts from them. So I'm reading to start with from Matthew 18 at verse 15 to the verse 20. If your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault just between the two of you. If he listens to you, you have won your brother over. If he will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, treat him as you would a pagan or a tax collector. I tell you the truth, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three come together, in my name, there am I with them in the midst. And then just a few verses from the beginning of Hebrews 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who were mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Those are incredible words, aren't they? And as I read them, I have to say to myself, how much of that is in my life? And so, having said that to myself, I want to say it to you as well. How much of that, those things that we've just read from the scripture, are found in your life? If you want to read them again later on, or when you go home, then I'm happy for you to come and take a note of the scriptures. But the wonderful thing is this, that God is with us. And if God is with us, nothing, and I say that again carefully, nothing is impossible as long as it's the will of God. That's the only thing that makes the difference. And it's the only thing that really matters. His will, rather than mine, rather than yours. But if God wills it, then it's possible. And he is able to bring it to pass in whatever way he will. I suppose if we look at Sunday evening, the service Sunday evening, it's a small service number-wise, isn't it, usually? I look around and there's a reasonable number here tonight, but sometimes it doesn't make this many. And there's you know, all those seats over there that are just empty, and when you stand here, that's what hits you. As well as you people, of course, don't get me wrong. So it is a small service. But Jesus said this. He said, listen, where two or three of you are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You can't be, you can be alone. And then he gives us another promise about walking with us daily as individuals. But whenever we're gathered, it can be as low as two. And he's here. Now, I'm relieved to find that there's more than two here tonight, I must admit. But you know what I'm saying? That's what matters. God is so concerned about meeting us when we are together that he says, look, if there's just two of you, I'm going to be there. And so whenever we're with friends or whatever from the fellowship here, where there are two of us or more, he is always with us. That's an incredible thought. A really incredible thought. I will go home to Audrey tonight, and so he'll be there, because there's two of us. And we both love him, and we both believe in him. And so it comes right down to any kind of gathering where two believers, as a minimum, are together. And you can't get less than that. That's a lovely thought. It's a really powerful thought. And so if we look a little further at these things, then I suppose we would reason that worship is easier with bigger numbers. You know, there's enough of us here tonight to make it what we would feel worthwhile. If there were only three of us, we would wonder, how is it going to go? Because we are human, and God understands that. He appreciates that very much. And but numbers is being easier in worship with bigger numbers is a human trait. You see, even as individuals, the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, he says this, "Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." That's an incredible thought. That wherever you go, if you know the Lord as your Savior, that wherever you go, wherever I go, whatever I do, even when I fail Him, He is there. And it's good to remind ourselves as we get up in the morning to think that the day ahead has some unknown quantities in it. Of course it does. Every day does. But He is with us every moment of every day. And I know that I'm telling you things you've heard before, but they need underlining, because this is vital to our Christian walk, to our pleasing God. We need to understand that it's as close as that. And so, even though we are individuals, He never leaves us or forsakes us. He is always there. I keep saying it because I can't grasp it. He is always, always there. And even when I sleep at night, when you sleep at night, He's there. And when you wake for a moment, He's there. These are incredible truths, really, when you think about it. And God wants us to understand that He, almighty though He is committed to a personal relationship with you and me. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be His children. He wants us to rest in Him. He wants us to know clearly and feel it that in the moment of crisis we can call instantly upon Him because He's there. That's a lovely thought. God wants us to grasp that and to understand it. So He is with us, even as individuals, and He never leaves us nor forsakes us. And then, as well as that, we need to focus on personal worship above all, and not just in church. There needs to be in your life and in mine, whether I'm here, whether I'm with others, or whether I'm alone, there needs to be a spirit of worship in me. I need to walk out into the day alone, if that's the way it is, knowing that He will never leave me nor forsake me. And that word never is just hard for us to grasp, isn't it? But that's His promise. I will never leave you, never forsake you. In other words, I'm always there. As we go out into a new week tomorrow, wherever we are, even though we are alone, He is with us. And He can do it because He's God. He can be with you where you are and where I am and everybody else. In fact, the whole of His church worldwide, He makes this promise to, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a thought which is, or a measurement which is beyond our comprehension. But it's the truth. It's the way God wants it to be. As we seek to focus on personal worship day by day and moment by moment, then we are going to be opening the door to Him, to His blessings, and to His power. And, you know, sometimes there's just that cry of an instant, Lord, because you've suddenly struck a problem. And your mind, if we've got it trained right, we'll call first upon Him, and then for the help of others if need be. But God wants to work with us, and He may choose to use others to help us, but He may choose to do it Himself. And we need to have that in our minds clearly and powerfully, that he's there to call upon at a moment's notice, and we are able to worship him in that way as well. Not just with a problem, but to worship him, to praise him. And so if he crosses our mind, your mind and my mind at some point tomorrow, just snatch the moment and say, Lord, praise your name. Praise your name. Let's be people of praise. Let's be people of worship, where worship is interwoven in our daily lives in a really deep way. God is able to do it with you and me. He's able to bring us to that very special place. And we rejoice so much in that. The other thing that I want to mention about worship is this. It does not rest on talent. Preachers, you've got to believe me, don't have an advantage over you who are not preachers. It applies to all of us equally. And so we are not, I'm not doing something which earns his presence tonight, although I trust that you can sense his presence and I can sense his presence at this moment. But I'm just simply doing what he's called me to do. I'm just seeking to be obedient, and I don't have an advantage over you who've never preached a sermon at all. I don't know which of you that is. I'm not going around judgment on it. But I know there are some of you here who have never preached a sermon at all. And God wants us to understand that that makes no difference whatsoever to his presence. We don't earn his presence in that way. It's all a matter of tremendous grace. And preachers don't have an advantage when it comes down to that. He's going to be with you tomorrow as much as he's going to be with me tomorrow, even though you didn't preach a sermon today. God wants us to understand these things. And I don't know. It's one of those simple things which we all know, I guess, but which when we stop to think about, the moment I wake in the middle of the night, he's there. When I get up tomorrow morning, he's there. He's with me when I'm alone. He's with me when I'm with my wife, Audrey. He's with me when I'm in fellowship with others. He's with me when I'm with my neighbors. He's always there. And when it comes to witnessing, as in terms of my neighbors, for instance, he is there and he knows what he's doing. And I don't know who your neighbors are. I have no idea. But if they don't know the Lord, you're there, as I am where I am, for a purpose, that we might share, that we might live as God's people. We might take the opportunities that he provides, and let me underline that he provides, to share the gospel with them. Our neighbors either side of us down on Park Lane are lovely people. And one of them has been here, the other one hasn't. So we're praying that the other one will come here too. Because I don't know whether the first one, who was an elder lady, she's in her mid-90s now, she's been here. But whether she'll ever come again, I've no idea. But we are in connection with our neighbors either side, and so are you. And they should be part of our prayer life. They should be looking very much, we should be looking very much at the idea that we have, and I use this word carefully, we have a responsibility. Because I think that's where what it boils down to. We have a responsibility to share the message wherever we can, especially with the people who live either side of us. And if nobody lives either side of you, well, there's other places where there's plenty of people who need the gospel. And you'll be in touch with them one way or another, I'm sure of that. And so, if we worship in this way, then as witnesses, we will be doing God's work. We will be working with him. Not for him, but with him. Because we'll put our hand into his. He will order the day as he chooses if we put it into his hands. And when he does, we will be working with him. And who knows what can happen? Who knows how big it can be? God has surprises for us. He really does. And I do believe that he's got surprises already in mind for you and me. We just need to be prayerfully ready in order that we might be in that position where God can use us in whatever way he chooses. You see, worship is much more than just words. Yes, we've used words tonight, set words. And that's worship in a sense. But real worship is much more than that. It's, if you like, I am and you are. We are what we are at heart. And you may have gone through the motions tonight, as I have. You may have done it genuinely from the heart, but maybe you may not. I don't know. Only the Lord knows that. And so when it comes down to worship, it's the heart that matters. Do I enthrone him? Do I really put him in this place where he's king of my life? Do you put him in the place where he's the king of your life? Because that's what he needs if he's to use us in the way that he wants to use us. And so we are what we are at heart. And God knows that. He wants to bring us closer to himself. And that's why he deals with us at heart level. Because it's not the outward expression first and foremost that matters. It's not raising your hands in a time of song or whatever here. It's what goes on inside. And that may not be worship, because he looks at the heart. And if your heart, if your mind is somewhere else, then it isn't. God wants us to understand these things and recognize that we are what we are at heart. And so self-examination and trusting him to guide us and lead us in the days to come is going to make a difference. It's going to help us. It's going to draw us closer to him as we simply seek to open our hearts to what he's got to say about you, what he's got to say about me. You don't need to share it with anybody else. But it's a personal relationship with him that we have as Christians. And that's what he wants to build on. That's what he wants to use. And so he may come, you may be shopping in town, and something may occur to you out of the blue that simply says, witness to this person coming down, and you can see them coming. And we've just got to rest in him. It's scary. Of course it is. But we have to rest in him. We have to allow him to do that which he wants to do. And so if that's the case, then we've got to say, yes, Lord, and have a go. He knows how to control your mind and the mind of the person you're going to speak to. And so he's in charge. But you and I, we have to be willing to have a go. And so let's be a witness for him away from this place in the ordinary things of life, with our neighbors and friends who are not Christians, and even somebody, a total stranger in the street, if so God will. And we'll know if he does. We shall know. He'll give us time to come to terms with it and do it. And so that's just a lovely thought. What I want us to do at this moment in time is for us to pause and just to have a quiet time of reflection. Just a minute or two, that's all. But if you sense in some way that God has underlined something tonight, either that you've not seen before, or something that you've known a long time, but for some reason God seems to be just underlining it tonight, then that's the way to focus. And if you don't feel that already, then in the quiet, just open your heart to him, and he may do it then. Above all, let's just be open to be his instruments, his mouthpieces, if you like. The ones who will be obedient as he guides and as he leads. That's all he wants. But if he's got it, I tell you, there's nothing he can't do. And you can be surprised, and I will be surprised, by the way in which he wants to use us. Let's give him a completely open door, and let's see what he will do. Amen. Amen.